Well, we're back in the 23rd Psalm this morning because I want you to be impressed with the power of what this little psalm has to offer in the way of just practical, everyday life transformation. Six short verses, but each one of them is packed with nuance and interpretation of things of power for your life. Today and next Sunday, we want to talk about the fact that the 23rd Psalm addresses the issue that God the Father meets my needs. Read along with me. Words are on the screen. Psalm 23, ESV. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David says that God is the source of everything I need. If you look at verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the foundation of that statement means that I shall not want. David says, when you put your security in something that lasts, your security remains. But when you put your security in something that is fleeting, like your job, your health, your marriage, other relationships, stocks, government, retirement, people, your security is on faulty ground. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. And because of that, he says, I shall not want. Now, David is not speaking, and this is an important point to make. David is not speaking here from the vantage point of a shepherd. David was a shepherd, and so he understood shepherd-like things. But because he was a shepherd and he understood shepherd-like things, and because God had invaded his life with the beauty of who God was, David is speaking from the vantage point of a sheep, not from the vantage point of a shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm a sheep. And because I'm a sheep of the good shepherd, then I'm not going to be in want. And it's important for David to make that distinction because from a king's perspective, it doesn't make sense to call yourself a sheep. Sheep have a ridiculously amount of need in their life. Sheep can't protect themselves. They don't have claws. They don't have incisor or type sharp, fangy, slashing teeth. They have this kind of mob mentality, and that one of them gets all jittery and hyped up, the rest of them will too, so much so that they can even run off the edge of a cliff if the crowd gets worked up into a frenzy. Sheep have no real defense mechanism, but yet they have an enormous amount of predators. They're slow. They're just slow. Perhaps the worst thing you could say about a sheep is that they're just not intelligent. Sheep are dumb. And David says, I'm a sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd. I assume the posture of a sheep, and He is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. Why is that? Because the welfare of the sheep was largely determined by the quality of the shepherd. There were two types of shepherd mentioned in the Bible. There is the shepherd that bought the sheep and that owns the sheep. And then there's the shepherd that was a hired shepherd by the man that owned the sheep or the person that owned the sheep. If you were in the flock of somebody who kind of farmed out the shepherding, the possibility of your care was diminished. But if you were the shepherd of the sheep that you owned, the quality of your care was exponentially better. David says, I'm a sheep, and I belong to the good shepherd. And because I belong to the good shepherd, I'm not going to want for anything. You see, the good shepherd makes sure that there's no need he cannot supply. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that God supplies every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Jesus says in John that he is the good shepherd, all of our needs according to his riches. There's no need that he can't supply, but also there's no worry that he wants you to carry. What are you worried about today? What are you struggling with today? What are you giving undue time, attention, and consideration to that really Jesus just needs to handle in your life? There's no worry that he wants you to carry. Later in that same chapter, or earlier in that same chapter in Philippians, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Because Paul understood, like David understood, that when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. So worry doesn't need to be a part of your regular routine. Fear, anxiety, stress, struggle doesn't need to be a part of your regular routine. Oh, sure, we're humans and we're dumb sheep and we do dumb things, and sometimes we allow ourselves to be distracted by situations and things and stuff of this life. But when you are under the care of the Good Shepherd, worry is really unreasonable. Worry is really unreasonable. I want to talk to you this morning from some teaching that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, why is it that you, or that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink or enough clothes to wear? Isn't it more than food and your body more than clothing? Typically, we worry about the wrong things anyway, don't we? Because typically, we worry about things that we seriously can't change. I read a commentary this week that talked about the subject of worry, and it says worry is really a form of control. It is a form of control that says when I can't control anything, I'll worry about controlling something. Because at least by worrying about it, it gives me some power over the situation. Well, that's exhausting at best. Worrying creates mountains out of molehills. Worrying makes things bigger than what they really ought to be in your life and in mine. And really, Jesus says, why would you do that? Worrying is really unreasonable. It just doesn't make sense, because there's a good shepherd. And if the Lord is your shepherd, then you won't want. Because he's got things under control. He watches over. He slumbers not, the Bible says. He does not go to sleep. If he is your shepherd, he's watching you. He's got you. He's got the situation in your life. Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Because when you're under the care of the good shepherd, worry is unreasonable, but worry is also unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Again, Jesus speaking, he says, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? It can't. There's another place that references it can't add any hair to your head either, and some of you need to stop worrying about that. It's unhelpful, because worry never moves you one step forward in the situation. It anchors you away from the situation and doesn't give you the opportunity to move it forward. Rick Warren says, worrying is worthless. Worrying is stewing without doing. You invest a lot of emotional energy in something that's not going to move the needle in a positive direction. I had somebody stop me after the first service and say, well, I had a health concern in my life. Is it sin to be concerned about that? No. Look, we're to be concerned about some things in our life, but we are to take those concerns to the Good Shepherd, and we are to leave those things there. When worry becomes sinful is when it drives us, is when it motivates us, is when it drags us down, is when it anchors us to something that is unholy instead of that which is holy. And that's when it becomes a problem. It's unreasonable. Not only is it unreasonable, it's unhelpful. You can't move the needle one iota. David's son wrote the book of Proverbs, and his son Solomon wrote this. He said, worry in a person's heart weighs that person down. An encouraging word cheers that person up. Psychologists and doctors tell us worry causes more fatigue than work. Worry causes more fatigue than work. You can go out and do 8, 9, 10 hours worth of physical labor, come home, be completely exhausted, put your head on your pillow, and have a perfectly good night's sleep. But you can go to work and you can worry all day at work about something that's going on in your life or in your home or in your financial situation or in your health. And then you can go home and try to put your head on your pillow and go to sleep at night, and you'll be up all night worrying about what you were worried all day about. And it's exhausting. It's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. So the remedy is to make this declaration, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I was flabbergasted at my inability to communicate this truth because somebody stopped me again after the first service and said, well, you told us what worry, the problem with worry is, but you didn't give us a remedy. I said, the Lord is my shepherd is the remedy. I thought I explained it relatively clearly, but just in case I didn't, the Lord is my shepherd is the remedy for worry. Jesus says, I need you to abide in me. Jesus says, I need you to be the branches to my vine. I don't know what other metaphors I can give you. But how do I do that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understandings, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. You see, the problem is that we don't want to make ourselves the sheep. We don't want to be dumb and slow and mob mentality. We don't want to think that way about ourselves. We think we got this. I am good. You know how I know I'm good? Because I have followed the latest hashtag movement on social media, and the world tells me, therefore, I am good. Not only do we not want to think of ourselves as sheep, but we certainly don't want to give control over to a shepherd. Because we don't want somebody else to control us. That's the remedy. Again, Solomon writes in Proverbs 14, verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Is your heart at peace today? David says, my heart is at peace because the Lord is my shepherd. And since the Lord is my shepherd, I don't have any wants. It's good. When you're under the care of the good shepherd, not only is it unhelpful to worry, but it's also unnecessary. God's got you. God's got the situation in your life. Whether it's a situation that you created, whether it's a situation that someone else created in your life, whether it's a situation from just living in the fallen world, God has got you. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work. They don't make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly, read it with me, care for... Well, that was sad. He will certainly... Thank you. He will certainly care for you. The good shepherd assumes responsibility for your life. He cares for you because you're valuable for him. Two times in two chapters, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in chapter 7, we are told that we were bought with a price. You know what that means? That means we have the type of shepherd that paid for the flock. He didn't hire somebody else to do it for us. We have the type of shepherd that paid for the flock back in the day. They don't do it anymore, which is kind of sad because I was really going to have a cool picture to show you. But if you go to the livestock show and you look at sheep now, sheep have their ear pierced and in their ear is a plastic tag with their number on it. I'm sure that's much more efficient than the way it used to be done. But the way it used to be done was if you were the man who bought the sheep or the person who bought the sheep, then you would take those sheep back to your property, you would lay that sheep down on a piece of wood, and you would take a really sharp knife, and you would cut a notch pattern in the ear of that sheep, saying, this is my sheep, it bears my notch pattern, therefore this sheep is mine. And after that ear healed, even though it was way out in the pasture when the sun got behind that sheep, you could see how the sun shone through the notch pattern in that sheep, and the shepherd would go, that sheep's mine. Jesus says you were bought with a price. And while he did not cut a notch in your ear, he did put a stamp in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And it is God who established us with you in Christ. Get that? And has appointed us. And who has also put his seal on us. And given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see what Paul's teaching the people of the church? Your ear's been notched, people. The presence of the Holy Spirit is the ear notch that says, you are mine. I am the good shepherd, you are mine. Later in this study, we're going to talk about what he says in John. He says, you're my sheep hear my voice, and they do what I ask because they follow me. How do the sheep hear his voice? Through the Holy Spirit. You have been notched with the mark of God. Ephesians chapter 1, if you're going through your bookmark about the Hoosier One, that was one of the passages this week. Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed. You were sealed. It is the word vargizo. It is the word for a signet ring. It has the emblem of the owner on that ring. And you have been sealed. He has dripped the hot wax of his love on you, and he has stamped his image on you because you are sealed. Jesus says you're bought with a price. I'm not some shepherd who hires this job out to somebody else. I'm the good shepherd, and I paid a price for you, and you are mine. And so for you and I to worry, it's really unnecessary. It's unnecessary. But when you and I are under the care of the good shepherd, worry is really a form of unbelief. It is really a form of unbelief. I'm not talking about losing your salvation unbelief, but I'm talking about a wandering in your faith. It is a form of unbelief. Again, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus says, if you don't believe that I'm the good shepherd, if you don't believe that I'm going to take care of you, your faith is little. And in this case, it's not the complimentary mustard seed small. It's a faith that basically is not existent. Because Jesus says, if your faith is small, as small as even a mustard seed, it's a powerful faith. But Jesus says, you don't trust me. You don't believe in me. You think that you have to be in control of your life. And so your faith is small. He ratchets it up in the next two verses, in verse 31 and 32. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Basically, he said, stop acting like a pagan. My youth pastor used to tell me that all the time. That's a conversation I'm going to have with Dom next time he wears his cowboy shirt up here. He knows. And so to be bogged down with worry really simply says, I don't believe. I don't believe. I want you to be comforted, though, this morning by the words of Isaiah. Because hundreds of years before Christ ever came, Isaiah knew that we were going to struggle with moments of disbelief. Isaiah knew we were going to struggle with moments of not following the Good Shepherd. Isaiah knew that we were going to have a hard time living this gospel life. Isaiah said in chapter 53, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to their own way. And the Lord has laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. Isaiah, millennia before Jesus showed up, said, sheep do sheep-like things. And Christ paid the price for dumb sheep. David speaks as from the vantage point, not of a shepherd, but speaks from the vantage point of the sheep. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have been bought with a price. My worry is not based in faith. It is unbelief. Therefore, I won't worry. But I will claim the promise that I shall not be in want. Despite our worry, despite our shortcomings, despite the other categories of sin in our life, Jesus chooses to buy us back. He chooses to mark us. He chooses us to be called by his name. He chooses to make us his own. He delights in our caring. He says in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. Three verses later, he says, again, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I have to ask you this morning, do you know the good shepherd? I have to ask you this morning, have you committed your life to the good shepherd? I have to ask you this morning, can you with great authority make the declaration, the Lord is my shepherd? I'm the sheep, and I am under his watch care. And I am happy to be in that place. If the answer to that is no, if your life is filled and fraught with worry today, David would have you to understand it's good to be the sheep. Because you are loved by the good shepherd. Live in that love. And be comforted by the fact that he has promised, you shall not be in want.